These telephone recordings are from 1977 and 1974. This is being narrated in 2009. Standing at a payphone where what greets you every time you pick it up is isn't so bad if you came here to record the local calling area, as I did. But if what you wanted to do was make a long-distance call to some place like New York or California, you better count your change and get ready to dial zero, unless there's an NX1 handling the OnePlus traffic. As you heard earlier, we were able to call New York Directory Assistance just by dialing it, and had I brought even a tape of 2600 followed by MF tones, I could have called anywhere in the world for free. But this trip is about getting the switching sounds on tape. And the other thing NX1s do well is they make those old-fashioned codes for repair and directory assistance, 114 and 113, work quite smoothly. Dialing one from here, Ramsar, North Carolina, you go into the Asheboro NX1 long-distance switch, which then takes the next two digits of the code and connects you, in a way I'll explain in a minute, to directory assistance or repair. Here's a call to 113.
Your number, please.
824-8045.
Can I help you?
Do you have a number for time of day in Asheboro?
625-1340.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, now here's 114, which goes through the same way.
Telephone repair.
And there Centel goes again using the power ring, which really was never intended to be heard by the customer, for the sole purpose of being heard by the customer. Directory assistance, of course, is not going to ring a phone at all, because it just comes into a switchboard which perhaps goes beep in her ear when you arrive. And as for repair service, it's very unlikely that their phones actually ring with a frequency other than 20 Hertz. So I think, even in the case of repair, the ringtone you hear is just a sound effect. It is the 33 Hertz power ring again, and where is that coming from? Well, it's not hard to figure out. The NX1 pauses a certain amount of time after you dial the last digit of the code, and that's because it is dialing something into, you guessed it, the Asheboro step. If you go into the Asheboro step from here, the 9 of 629, the step's code, actually has to be dialed, because the 9 actually goes somewhere, instead of just absorbing. That leaves the other levels available for other purposes. In this case, they've used the 7 level for 672 numbers, the 5 level goes to the 625 office, and the 1 level goes to a service code selector which handles 113 and 114. This isn't published, but you can actually reach repair service by dialing 6 plus 114. When you do that, you dial an extra digit, but the call takes a more direct route. And here's a call to repair service dialed directly into the step, 6114.
Telephone repair.
And that's the other way to call repair service. Before we go to more OnePlus stuff, let's see what the limitations of the callback circuit are. This is a different phone company from where we've been. And I guess we can start by finding out how many callback circuits there are in this office. The code is 39, and what I'm going to do is dial 39. Huh, these things hum very often, and as you heard, the hum was being modulated by the pulsation for the ticking tone. But now the hum has gone solid. Well, we're on a callback circuit, and here's where you're supposed to dial a 7-digit phone number of the other party on your line. But let's instead dial the code for the callback circuit, 39. Okay, so we've gotten into a second callback circuit through the first one. It doesn't sound like the pulsating noise here is going to stop. So let me dial 39 one more time. You see, each one of these has its own distinctive signature. This one clicks. Now, I know from previous calls that there really are only three in the office, so what I dial next is 111. And that's just to fill up the digit count of the first callback circuit. But as I dial each digit, you'll actually hear three quick changes. And then I'll hang up. Now, to verify there really are only three callback circuits in the office, let's dial 39 outright. Code for callback is now busy, thanks to the fact that some jerk decided to use up all three callback circuits on one call, but it'll clear in a minute or two. In the meantime, let's try simply picking up the phone and dialing 1 plus a long-distance number, not directory assistance, and see what happens. From a coin phone, the identifier sends a KP plus a start. And that tells the equipment in Asheboro not to bring up an operator and just give a reorder. So that's how they do restriction here. Let's hear something like that again. This time I'm going to dial 116, which is a code that either just goes off hook or flashes. And there it is again, key pulse plus start. This time Asheboro wasn't listening, so we don't have a reorder, we just have silence. Well, you know, there's another place where we can try this 116 code to see what happens. And that, of course, is through the callback circuit. So here's 39, and then I'll try dialing a 1. That's right, it's blocked. Yeah, they don't allow the 1 plus to be dialed on a callback circuit. Unless they're bluffing. Now, it's a lot of trouble to make a special switching train that doesn't have any toll trunks on it. Yet, they do have a reason to not want people to dial 1 through the callback circuit. How do you prevent it? Well, the local office code 824 is dialed for 100% of the legitimate uses of the callback circuit. So, rather than building a special switching train that has no toll trunks, they could just modify the callback circuit selectors so that that absorbed digit 4 has to be dialed to cut into any trunk. And in that way, they could cause the 1 to go to a reorder. And that would discourage further experimentation in most cases, but not me. I'm going to try dialing 39 plus the absorbed digit 4 and then a 1, and then we'll see whether there really aren't any toll trunks there. Well, what do you know? They really did go out of their way to block the 1. Of course, the joke is going to end up being on me because you really can't get toll access this way, but we can hear how it works. Here's the rest of 116. That was different from what we got from the coin phone. Let's hear those tones again. It's actually sending key pulse, then a 1, and that's really all you need for this particular operation in most phone companies. But then it went on to send a 3, a 0, and an ST2P tone. ST2P is one of the 5 control tones of the MF system, which in frequency order are ST3P, STP, Keypulse, ST2P, and Start. You hear the STP a lot, but ST2P is very rarely used, so obviously they do things differently around here than the rest of the world. So anyway, the important part of that message from the identifier is the keypulse followed by the 1, which says, this line, in this case the callback circuit, does not have automatic number identification, so please bring up the operator to say your number please every time. That's a very good setup for accessing the toll network, but there's a severe limitation, which is that the callback circuit itself only lets you dial 6 digits through it. So this little trick really will only be useful for short numbers like 116 that we were using to hear the identifier, or when they start charging for directory assistance, 113 or 1411. But right now, the most significant use for this trick involves the shortest phone number of all.
The number for the operator. Oh, I have that number.
That's right, and this phone company, unlike Carolina Telephone, may well allow calls to the operator on the callback circuit. So let's try dialing 39 and then 0. Oh well, it was a nice idea. Wait a minute. They could be bluffing. Let's try 39 plus 4 and then 0. Well, what do you know? And I just hung up on the all-powerful operator. Let's call back and do it again.
Operator 23, may I help you?
Oh, we got a clicky callback circuit that time. This is just one of those things that if you just were told the technique without the technology behind it, it would sound like you'd found some sort of a secret code. You dial 3940 instead of 0, and you can hang up on the operator. That makes it sound all mysterious and stuff. And you know, if you had a mean streak, you could call the operator that way, say something really cute, triggering her to decide she was going to hold your line up and trace you, which of course she couldn't do because you'd just hang up and get another dial tone. But if they bothered to actually go ahead and trace the call, a few hours later there would be a switchman who would indeed discover that the callback circuit made an annoyance call to the operator?
What?
Didn't that guy used to work in a crossbar office up north somewhere? He sounds familiar. Oh well, seriously though, we wouldn't do a prank like that because it would lead to a cool back door being closed. You might have noticed that when the operator answered, there wasn't that usual dial tone just as she came on the line.
Number 26, may I help you?
Without that class of service dial tone sound, she doesn't know I'm at a coin phone, and so I can ask her to place a long distance call for me, and she'll do it without asking me to deposit coins. Now, this is something that you could get away with, actually, as long as the number you called wasn't somebody you knew, and they would never know that it went through the callback circuit. But it's still the sort of thing that we would use very carefully in those days, because to actually complete a call this way would have left the phone company with a bill, and even though they never would have found out how you did it, still, well, we sort of considered that rude. So I'm going to call, of course, a non-completing number. Once the AIS announcement is playing, I'm going to dial some extra digits to superimpose the reorder on top of the call to the operator, and then she sort of tries to figure out what's going on and ends up disconnecting me.
Yes, could you get me area code 516-593-983?
Thank you. Your number, please. Your number, please. Thank you. The number you have reached, LY39883, has been changed. The new number is area code 212-877.
Was fun, and it brings up another unanswered question. Did you hear that tick? That is not an NX1 cut-through sound. These are NX1 cut-through sounds. Now that tick might have been some sort of a fluke, but what it really sounds like is the senderized step tandems made by GTE Automatic Electric. What follows is the sound of one of those in Olney, Illinois, MFing out, and notice the tick at the end. Okay, and here's what the operator was just using. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that she's using a step tandem. It could be that there's a sender which is somehow integrated into the switchboard she's using. But there is another call here which strongly suggests that the step may somehow be involved in long-distance calling. And that's this one. I'm going to first dial 1 plus 212 and a 7-digit number, and we'll get the usual toll restriction. I flashed, and that reset the trunk. Now I'm redialing another long-distance number. What I was hoping to do here was to recycle the long-distance trunk and have the identifier fail this time. But instead, 30 seconds after I flashed on the trunk, this happened. Now that just doesn't sound like an NX1 to me. It sounds like a step camera system dialing something to go to a reorder and then the sender drops out. So we got this dialing one.
I'm sorry.
And that is an NX1 crossbar switch. But this, which we somehow ended up on trying to dial a long distance call, I don't think it is. You know, it's not that often that I find myself scratching my head as I go over the old tapes. But now there have been two in a row, Siler City and Ramser, and so I'm just putting it out there, and maybe one of these days we'll figure it out. In going through tapes of calling into the Asheboro area in 1974, it turns out that there was another Jane Barbie recording which didn't show up on this trip. Here's a call from my Long Island home to 625-0000. The recording we get is for vacant codes.
We're unable to complete your call as dialed.
Rather than vacant numbers.
I'm sorry. We're unable to complete your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again or ask your operator for assistance. This is a recording in Asheboro, North Carolina.
You could really hear the supervision flash that time. And since I was calling from a crossbar 5 in New York, it didn't charge me. Good thing I didn't call that from my girlfriend's house in Greenville, North Carolina, because that would have charged from there. Now, calling into 672, we got this recording from Ramsar in 1977.
This is a recording in Asheboro, North Carolina.
Back in 1974, 672, well, it wasn't much better, but here's what it was doing. Hate when that happens, and it's pretty obvious what they did. They tried to make a copy of that beautiful recording in the downtown office, and, well, let's just say that this...
I'm sorry, we're unable to complete your call as dialed.
...became this.
Please check the number and dial again, or ask your operator for assistance.
But that's actually not the most egregious case of it. In fact, I have here a recording of something from the New York Telephone Company, where you can really see what happens when switchmen get together and try to copy a high-quality recording onto an announcement machine, just playing it through a speaker and picking it up with a microphone. They don't know how to use the right patch cords and, well, you know, stuff happens.
I'm sorry. We are unable to complete your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again, or ask your operator for assistance. This is a recording.
You know, that tape actually ended up being used as a master tape for the central office from that point on. Now, how that came about is, well, actually, I can show you exactly how this kind of thing does happen.
Yeah, Frank, did you get the tape?
Yes, boss.
Yeah, good. Let's listen to it. Put your headphones on.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We are unable to complete your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again, or ask your operator for assistance. This is a recording.
Well, at least they gave us a good copy this time.
What was? I can't hear you.
I said, I'm glad they gave us a good copy this time.
You'll still have to speak loud, I can't hear you.
I'm glad they gave us a good copy this time.
What?
Take your headphones off, Frank.
What?
Never mind. Yeah, okay, let's get to work. Where are the cables?
What cables, boss?
The ones we use to connect the tape recorders together.
Right, I remember those. I was meaning to tell you this, boss. Last night my car battery was dead and I used them to recharge it.
Yeah, then where are they now?
I have them right here.
What happened to them?
I don't know, they got hot. I think they melted together.
Oh no, we're gonna have to use a microphone.
Where can we record it?
Let's try it in here, and then we'll try it a couple of other places.
And then, of course, that leads to even worse potential master tapes. For example, this is the one they didn't use.
I'm sorry. We are unable to complete
Frank,
your call as
dialed.
Please check the number and dial again, or ask your operator for assistance.
No, it's not this,
this
one.
This is a recording.
I think it's this phone. Hello?
That was actually Dave Bell and I cutting up in 1974, making fun of this whole phenomenon of the phone company taking a beautiful recording and totally screwing it up. Some might say I've done that a few times, retro-narrating these old phone tapes, but anyway, one thing about Ramsar that I've been sort of putting off is dialing the local ring and busy signal, and the reason is that the tone plant in Ramsar is almost identical to the tone plant in Kenley, North Carolina. It's the same type, and it sounds so close, right down to the little bursts of ring on either side of the busy signal buzzes. So now, without further ado, here's a ringing number in Ramsar, dialed locally, of course. Here's a phone company test tone, which is off frequency, by the way. And here's the busy signal. The tone plant here is starting to go off and get a little bit ugly every now and then. It's been doing that through this whole program. Sometimes the dial tone just sounds a little bit discordant. Well, before we head on to Ashboro and dial from the actual Pentacotta 625, let's just do one more phone freak thing, which really isn't necessary. I'm going to dial 39 twice, and then 4116. That's going to stack up two callback circuits, then go into the toll trunk and dial something that goes off hook, triggering the identifier to spill out that strange MF sequence again. Here's a technical note. From Ramsar, I did not encounter any N1 family carrier, but I did hear a 3700Hz tone. It was in the background on almost every trunk from Ramsar to Ashboro that was not T carrier. It's hard to hear, but if you do a frequency analysis on the background noise, you can see a little peak at 3700. The tone does not go away when the trunk goes off hook. Another place where 3700Hz tones, or near 3700Hz tones, beating, were heard, was on the identifier operation dialing a regular long-distance number. Those are near 3700s beating together. So it may be that the 3700Hz tone was used not just on N1 family carrier, but on other carrier systems, specifically on the trunks from Ramsar to Ashboro. Well, the next stop is Ashboro, where I dialed from the 625 Pentacotta, and you know, it seems like 672 probably was in a different central office than the rest of the Ashboro codes, and that means that had I known at the time, I could have found the right part of Ashboro to go to and actually dial from 672, which, whatever it was, I would have gotten it on tape. Too bad I didn't think of that. Too bad? I don't know. I'm sitting on so many tapes I don't have enough time to narrate them all, and I have no intention of dying anytime soon. This is 2009, give me 30 years at least. I still don't have enough time. Anyway, the Ashboro Pentacotta is next.